Welcome and Sabbath blessing to all the precious family that are joining us in the room, for those that will be listening over the phone and also over the radio and later on recording. Sabbath blessing, everyone, on this beautiful, sunny, very chilly Sabbath. This is November 23rd, 2019. If everyone can see the presentation in the room, dear one. Our lesson 291, part 2 review of chapter 63, entitled Thy King Cometh. This is our part 3. Our opening hymn is entitled When We Cometh, and this is the hymn of our theme. If anyone of the dear remnant family would like to join also in singing the hymn, you can unmute your mic as well. When he cometh to make up his jewels, all his jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his brightness adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown.
He will gather the gems for his kingdom. All the pure ones, all the bright ones, his loved and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his brightness adorning, they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown. Amen.
You want to sing this one? Say,
little children
who love their Redeemer. All the jewels, precious jewels, his love and his own. Like the stars of the morning, his brightness adorning, and they shall shine in their beauty, bright gems for his crown.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to all the dear brethren that are just coming in. If any one of the little ones, mommies or daddies, or even our guests would like to open with prayer, may you unmute your mic.
Our Father, we thank you for letting us be able to have this blessed day. We thank you for letting us be able to wake us up this morning. We thank you for letting us be able to have another blessed day. We pray that you may be able to keep on learning from today's lesson and even from last week and the others that we previously learned, and keep on learning the things that are soon to come. Let us be able to keep on giving praises unto thee no matter where we are, no matter what happens. We pray that you may be able to comfort us if we ever feel sad, afraid, or even angry. We pray also that you may even help us be able to practice self-denying and self-control and more, and keep on doing more things that are good in thy sight. Let us be able to avoid all the temptations that the devil may use against us. We pray that we may be able to be our shield and against him and our fortress. And we pray also that you may help us with the difficult task that we can't handle all by ourselves. We pray also that you may be able to help us keep on using our words wisely and to keep on using them and preaching your word and find many souls who wish to worship thee as much as we do. And be with us as we have yet another blessed study, and let us always have our eyes open that we may see the wondrous things of your law. This is my prayer in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Name we pray, amen. Our opening verse is always the verse that we use for our review. And we have it also in song. And our dear sister Gina will share it.
Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as the snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Come now, and let us reason together. That's what God said. Come now, and let us reason together, says the Lord.
Amen. Have a blessing, everyone.
This is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18 from the King James Version. So what have we learned, dear ones, and ways we have grown this week? Before we hear your questions, your comments, your poems, your songs, let's take a few minutes and review what we have read last Sabbath from a part one of our lesson entitled Thy King Cometh, Part 3 from our study book, Desire Pages. If anyone of the dear remnant family would like to take the first paragraph, maybe unmute your mic.
Seven blessings, everyone. Desire of Ages, page 572. New accessions were made continually to the possessions, and with few expectations, all who joined it caught the inspiration of the hour and helped to swell the hosannas that echoed and re-echoed from hill to hill and from valley to valley. The shouts went up continually. Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Desire of Ages, page 572, paragraph 1.
The Desire of Ages, page 572. Never before had the world seen such a triumphal procession. It was not like that of the earth's famous conquerors. No train of mourning captives, as trophies of kingly valor, made a feature of that scene. But about the Savior were the glorious trophies of his labors of love for sinful man. There were the captives whom he had rescued from Satan's power, praising God for their deliverance. Next slide, please. Continuing. The blind whom he had restored to sight were leading the way. The dumb whose tongues he had loosed shouted the loudest hosannas. The cripples whom he had healed bounded with joy and were the most active in breaking the palm branches and waving them before the Savior. Widows and orphans were exalted in the name of Jesus for his works of mercy to them.
Continuing. The leper's wound he had cleaned. Whom he had cleanest, spread their untamed garments in his path, and hailed him as the King of Glory. Those whom his voice had awakened from the sleep of death were in that strong Lazarus. Whose body had been corrupted in the grave, but who not rejoiced in the strength of glorious manhood, led the beast on which the Savior rode.
What's the Savior rode?
Many Pharisees witnessed the scene, and burning with envy and malice, sought to turn the current of popular feeling. With all their authority, they tried to silence the people, but their appeals and threats only increased in the enthusiasm. They feared that this multitude and the strength of their numbers would make Jesus king. As a last resort, they pressed through the crowd to where the Savior was and accosted him with reproving and threatening words. Master, rebuke thy disciples. Next slide, please. Continuing.
They declared
that
such
noisy
demonstrations
were
unlawful
and
would
not
be permitted. Permitted. Good.
By
the
authorities.
But
they
were
silenced
by
the
reply
of
Jesus. I tell you
that
if these
should
hold their
peace,
the stones
would
immediately could
cry out.
That scene
of triumph
was of God's
own
appointing.
It had
been foretold
by
the prophet
and
man was powerless
to turn
aside God's purpose. Good. Next slide, please. Sorry.
I'll read the slide on the side.
Blessing anyone.
Bless the Sabbath, everyone. Okay. And
he
answered
and
said
to
them,
I
tell
you
that
if
these
should
hold
their
peace,
the
stones
would
immediately
cry out.
Luke
chapter 19
verse 40. Okay, praise God. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Matthew chapter 21, verse 9, King James Version. Next slide, please. Continuing.
Had men failed
To carry out
his
plan,
he
would
have
given
a voice
to
the
listen to this one in
any
mate
inanimate
mommy Inanimate.
Inanimate.
Okay, good job. Stones. Okay, finish reading and then you could ask them. And
they
would
have
hailed
his
son
with
affirmation. Good job.
Of
praise.
As
the
silenced
Pharisees
drew
back the words
of
Zechariah
were
taken
up
by
hundreds
of
voices.
Rejoice
greatly
O daughter
of
Zion. Good job. Shout
O
daughter
of
Jerusalem. Good job.
Behold
thy
king
cometh
unto
thee.
He
is
just
and
man
having
salvation.
Good job. Lowly
and
riding
upon
and
as
and
upon
a colt the foul
of
an
ass.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay, good job, Haley.
Mom, look.
The Deserve Ages, page 575. When the procession reached the brow of the hill and was about to descend into the city, Jesus halted and all the multitude with him. Before them lay Jerusalem in its glory, now bathed in the light of the declining sun. The temple attracted all eyes. In stately grandeur, it towered above all else, seeming to point toward heaven as if directing the people to the only true and living God. The temple had long been the pride and glory of the Jewish nation. The Romans also prided themselves in its magnificence. A king appointed by the Romans had united with the Jews to rebuild and embellish it, and the emperor of Rome had enriched it with his gifts. Its strength, richness, and magnificence had made it one of the wonders of the world. Desire of Ages, 575, paragraph 1.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Good job, everyone. I could see my future readers as well. So let's consider this verse of our review section, taken from 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 from the King James Version. For sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. With meekness and fear.
Amen.
And with that said, what have we learned in ways we have grown, dear ones? Now, the room is open. If you have any questions, comments, anything that you have learned during this three-part series of our study, may you begin to do so. Unmute your mic, dear ones.
What Jesus meant when he said to the Pharisees is that those very stones would cry out.
The Pharisees, Sadducees, and scribes were men that the Lord had given them the word. They were depositaries of the word of God. And if they would not proclaim him because of the fulfillment of the scriptures, even those that may not had the advantages they had in knowing the scriptures and knowing about the prophecies, because if they would have went back and read the book of Isaiah and the other books that was written of him, even the books that Moses had wrote, they would have had an idea who was Jesus. So the stone represented those that maybe didn't, but then out of their mouth was going to proclaim them when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem. Those stones represent those people, people that did not have that knowledge of who he was. Out of their mouth was going to be coming out the praise. And it was just like an analogy. The stone physically would not cry out, but it means those that didn't really have a familiar of who Jesus was.
I have a testimony that I had with my daughter, my oldest child. So she's beginning to learn for herself the principles that the Lord had given me to give her when she was 2 years old. We had a little conversation, I believe it was on Monday, in regards to her wanting to go back to school. And she explained to me why she had stopped praying. And she was saying that, well, it seemed like when I was praying, nothing was happening. But as soon as I stopped praying, that's when everyone started calling me about a job and stuff about school. And I'm like, oh, I said, duh, this is a liar. And then she was like, yeah, they called me to go in on Saturday. I said, but Saturday's Sabbath. And if, as long as we learn the truth and the Lord gives us principle to stand by what he is required for us to do, the Lord's going to be the one to open the doors. But we have to be faithful and stand by what it is the Lord has required for us to do. So we called to reschedule her to take her ACTs because they scheduled her on a Saturday. And I told her, I'm not taking you on Sabbath. That's just, I mean, if you want to go that bad, you're going to have to find someone else to take you because I'm not taking you. So I called, rescheduled it, and they were going to charge another $50 to reschedule it. So I asked them if they could waive the rescheduling fee because we didn't know anything about it. And besides the fact that they should have gave us an option on what day would be preferable for us rather than picking out a day for us. So my daughter got a little bit frantic because I told her, I said, why are you worrying? I said, we're standing on truth right now. The Lord told us not to do anything on Sabbath. So the only thing is not going to hurt to ask for them to change the schedule. I said, I don't have the extra money to pay for this class just because we're trying to schedule the day from Saturday to Sunday. So she was like, what are you doing? You're just being extra and you're just making things more complicated. I said, things are only complicated if you will allow them to be complicated. This is not complicated right now. This is a matter of standing on what the Lord told us to do. So we're going to pray. So we prayed. Well, I prayed and she prayed with me and asked the Lord to schedule this and to waive that $50 fee. I said, if the Lord waives it, then this is for you to understand the importance of what the Lord said, as well as knowing that God hears your prayers. So it took them a good 15 minutes before they got back on the phone and told us we were able to waive the fees. We rescheduled you for Sunday. And I looked at my daughter. I said, see, if you just pray and wait on the Lord and stand by what the Lord said, he will make a way.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That is so wonderful. If there's any other questions concerning the questions of the three, it could be anyone, part one, part two, or part three of our studies, may you begin to do so.
I have a question. It's sort of related, but maybe not. So I was reading in my devotional, and there was something that I came across. I don't remember the scriptures, but as we were talking about the Pharisees and the Sadducees today, it made me remember. In the spirit of prophecy, it was saying that when Christ was sent into the wilderness to be tempted, that he overcame, and we know that by the grace of God, that he overcame the enemy. But the devil didn't just stop there. He went and he basically went to basically fight against the Lord by casting basically doubt unto his chosen people, the people that should have been the chosen ones. And I just wanted to ask, and I know that sometimes for that to happen, that there had to be a wall, an opening for the devil to be able to go in. But how much of that basically was done by themselves if the devil went about specifically to turn them against the Lord, since he was not able to overcome God, Jesus himself?
Gina, you want to?
Yeah. Hi, Sister Cece. How are you? I was thinking, and I remember in the scripture, it said that every time he presented himself, the Satan presenting himself, the Bible said that he just come back in a season, like he will come and reenact this thing again. He never stopped. He just continued to do whatever he was aiming to do. And in our life, I think that's what he does. He doesn't let go. He come back and he give you another way of making you sin. You know, like he go back and he continue to do whatever he's aimed to do.
I read through the week, and what book was that? I think it was either Darkness Before Dawn or The Faith I Live By. But one of those books, it did say that the devil yields to no ground. Like he seeks, he does not stop seeking for whom he's going to devour. And he will yield to no ground, meaning that he will continue to do what he's going to do until the angels of the Lord resist.
Is there any other dear ones that would like to be able to add for the questions that was asked? You know, I noticed that those 40 days that Jesus was in the wilderness, the enemy did not come right away. He came almost at the end, where the hunger and the loneliness and the delay was strongest. And this is what he's always going to do. The enemy does not come when you're in your strength. He usually always come when you are the weakest. A predator, or every time when it wants to be able to devour cattle, he always sit and look and see which one is the one that having difficulty running or far away from the parents. The ones that are idle, the ones that doesn't have any idea that he's around. So that's the same thing that the enemy does. He always comes, especially when you are struggling. So when Jesus was tempted by the enemy, he came just few before he was to be delivered. So if you can remember always that he's not going to come when you are in the strongest, he's going to come when you're in the weakest. Anytime you have bereavement, anytime when you have loss, anytime when you feel discouraged, any of these things that he uses to be able to come is when you are not really prepared to be able to battle because you are not strong enough. So anytime when we feel this way, the best thing to do is to sit at the feet of Jesus, because when we are weak, this is when Christ will give us his strength, that we may be able to overcome. The same way how when Christ was in his weakness because of the loneliness and the delay and the hunger, he held on to what was given to him when he was baptized.
This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he hold on to the promise. By holding on to the promise, this is how the strength was also given. We have words of ammunition in the Word of God that whenever we feel this way, we can always go to adore to the Lord and use those same things, because that's how the Lord also overcome them. He took the promises of the Word of God when it was time for him to be able to show him that he can turn the stone into bread. What did he say? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So, in other words, his sustenance, how he sustained to be alive, is not so much the food, but who has his life. And this is one of the things that we have to be able to meet the enemy. The Word of God has been given to us as a two-edged sword to be able to fight the battles of life. I just wanted to share that. And if there's any other questions, dear one? There was a question that was asked in the last review concerning the palm tree. Remember the palm leaf? Someone wanted to know what was the meaning of it. Well, I would like to share some truths from nature, and it's also a lesson that we need to understand. In the Middle East, in the area where Jesus was glorified, the palm tree is so used. It tells you that the palms are ranked as the most useful tree to man. They provide ornaments, shade, building materials, fuel, food. It's a very giving tree. God wants his people to be giving as well. So this is one of the lessons that we can get from the palm tree. Fibers for rope and brooms and for making water-tight ships are made from the palm. Leaves are wove into mats and hats and baskets. The seeds are made into buttons and for carving. Many baskets and sheer bottoms are woven from strips of palm leaves. The stems of the rattan, it's called rattan, R-A-T-T-A-N, palms, are used to make furniture. But the thing that is so beautiful, it says, when we see a palm tree sending all his strength upward in one bold column and growing amid the droughts of the desert, we have a fine picture of the godly man who in this uprightness aim alone at the glory of God. The palm is an important tree to those living in the tropics. You can see why the Jews use the palm as an emblem of victory, especially in their seasons of rejoicing. According to John 12:13, Deborah, the prophetess, dwelt under a palm tree where the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. That was Judges 4:5. One has to have the victory over sin to be a mouthpiece for God. This is the part that I wanted to be able to bring the children and all of us to be able to see how beautiful this analogy with the palm tree and what was it used to be able to rejoice for Jesus coming into Jerusalem. It says, and we are told that the redeemed of all ages would hold palm trees. In Revelation chapter 7:9, it says, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with the white robes and palms in their hands. It's like it's the little type of the antitypical that's going to happen in the future. Because God's people have overcome and been given with their means, God will give them the palm of victory. Mm-hmm. In the triumph entry, when Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the donkey, the branches of palm trees were spread before him. This shadowed forth the truth that God's people, getting the victory over sin, will prepare the way for his second coming.
May the Son of God, who gives to the palm tree his useful and beautiful life, help us to develop the character trait it symbolizes. I just wanted to share that. And is there any other questions or comments before we continue, dear ones? I will also send the information that you can be able to read further. We have a song that our dear brother Josh will be the one to share with the room. It's entitled, You Are My All in All.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Oh, Jesus,
Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name.
Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name.
Amen.
This is the section, dear ones, that we have poems or any kind of dialogue that you would like to share. And our dear sister Christina will share a poem entitled Plan of Salvation.
Plan of Salvation. Victory is won. From the day of our existence begun, the death of sin so marred the world, it caused death to rise and infect the world. A deadly poison no man can cure and clean up. It took Jesus to step down, to give up his life, his possession as king, to become a servant to all existing. No greater love than him, than love himself, who thought it not sin to die himself. Our Creator, whose heart so tightly knitted and life so closely fitted, desired us to be with him, to live in a world without sin, where tears are no more and joy fills
with open doors, where peace abides and strife has died. The Lord desires for all to be saved. He pleads our cause daily as he cries out, follow me.
Thank you so much, dear sister, for sharing your poem. And we also found our poem is called The Blessed Intercession. And this one is taken from Adventist Review and Sabbath Herald, Volume 11, 1857, December 24. And if anyone of the Dear Remnant family would like to take one of the verses, may you unmute your mic.
Verse number one. Up in the radiant sky, far from all human eye, upon the throne on high, Jesus now stands, still pleading night and day. Father, forgive, I pray, man's sins are washed away. See my tone hands.
Did I not sigh for him? Did I not die for him? Did I not cry for him? Father, forgive. When on the cross I lay, man's sins to wash away, still unto thee I pray, Father, forgive.
Earth is an evil place, man's is a feeble race. I, lost without thy grace, Father, forgive. Speak to his troubled soul, make his seared conscience whole. Oh, may he reach the goal, Father, forgive.
Why take I heed of him? Am I not seed of him? Did I not bleed for him? Father, forgive. Closed I mine eyes amain, sought I these skies again. Here, let my sighs attain, Father, forgive. Oft doeth the Blessed One stoop from his holy throne, heeding the suppliant tone, Father, forgive. Calls man to him on high, up in the radiant sky, far from all human eye, ever to live.
Then do the angels sing, glory to God our King. He alone can bring man up on high. Thanks to the Blessed One, thanks to his Holy Son, echoes the glorious tone, far, far through the sky.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, dear ones, we have went over, so we want to give also our dear brother Grace the chance to be able to ask any question of the story time.
All right, boys and girls, if you have any questions, ask them either with the microphone or with the fingers on the keyboard, and I'll try to keep track of where they show up on the chat room here. In the meantime, we're going to review the story from last week. And that is two brave young men rout Philistine. To rout means to put them to flight. And Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, and let us go over into the garrison or the camp of the enemy of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. 1 Samuel 14:6. In other words, the Lord could help two people do the job or 100 people do it, whichever way he chose. In Jonathan, the son of Saul, the Lord saw a man of pure integrity or honesty, one to whom he could draw nigh or draw near, and upon whose heart he could move. These two men gave evidence or proof that they were moving under the influence and command of a more than human general. To outward appearance, their venture or decision to go fight the enemy was rash and contrary to all military rules. No general would send 2 soldiers out to fight against 20 soldiers. But the action of Jonathan was not alone in human rashness, was not done in human rashness or without first thinking about it. He depended not on what he and his armor bearer themselves could do, or the soldiers that had this, the armor bearer is the soldier that helps him carry his weapons and guards his back. He was the instrument or the person that God used in behalf of his people Israel. They made their plans and rested their cause in the hands of God. They depended on God for help. If the armies of the Philistines challenged them, they would advance. If they said, come, then they would go forward. Jonathan and his armor bearer had asked a sign of the Lord, and the challenge had come. The sign was given. These 2 men placed their hope in God and went forward. It was no easy passage for the brave adventurers. They had to climb to reach the top. It would have been an easy matter for the Philistines to kill these 2 brave, daring men. But it did not enter their minds that these 2 solitary or alone men had come up with any hostile intent or intended to fight with them. The wondering men above looked on, too surprised to take in the possible object, their possible object. They regarded or considered these men as deserters, that is, soldiers that had abandoned their army. We'd call them traitors. And permitted them to come up without harm. And the quote from the Bible is, and they fell before Jonathan and his armor bearer slew after him. And end quote. This daring work sent a panic through the camp. There lay the dead bodies of 20 men. And to the sight of the enemy, there seemed hundreds of men prepared for war. The armies of heaven were revealed to the opposing host of the Philistines. God made the Philistines think they saw hundreds of enemy soldiers, but they were angels that came to help Jonathan and his buddy. Sons and Daughters of God, page 208. And the Bible verse again says, and Jonathan said to the young man that bare his armor, come, let us go over unto the garrison of these uncircumcised, or the camp of the enemy. It may be that the Lord will work for us, for there is no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few, 1 Samuel 14:6. And the Lord honored them by winning the battle for them. Now let's see, do I have a question here? So there's no habit so strong to or entrenched in the heart that you and God cannot overcome it. Is that a question or is that must be a declaration? Well, if you have no questions and we are running late, I will hand the microphone back to the, what? Sarisha, go ahead.
Yes, I had a question from last week. Do we happen to know the name of the young man, the armor bearer for Jonathan? I had asked that since last week, but I'll ask it again this week.
I know of no name. He was just regarded as the armor bearer. I think I went and looked. I've looked at so many things this week. I don't know which one I've looked at now. But I guess it wasn't necessary, or the writer would have said Jonathan and gave another name. Okay, Rose, back to you then.
Thank you so much, dear Brother Grace. Well, dear ones, we are not going to have time. Maybe we can be able to ask the Garay family to be able to sing it
after when we finish our meeting today. So I'm going to pass the mic to any one of the dear little ones, mommies or daddies, that would like to close with prayer. May you unmute your mic, dear ones. If we can all bow our heads and our hearts as we come boldly before the throne of grace. Righteous and heavenly Father, as we come before thee, Lord, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we ask thee, Lord, that you may be able to keep our eyes and our ears open to the heavenly manna that we will be receiving today, Father Jesus. We pray that you be with all the little ones, their moms as well, if there's any illness or any burden, Father Jesus, that is felt. We pray that you may be able to send the Holy Spirit, not only for the wisdom of the parent to remove the illness, Father Jesus, through your natural method, or you can just have mercy, Father, just as you have done in the past. We pray, dear Lord, that you be here with us. Forgive us for all our sins and iniquity. We plead in the blood of Christ always to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come every Saturday to be able to not only hear your holy words, but to be able to have communion with all our brothers and sisters, Father Jesus. May you also commune with us, Father. May you send the Holy Spirit to encamp about us, and that it will be able to allow nothing to be lost, dear Lord. It's my prayer. This is my prayer in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Well, next week, by God's grace, we will be starting a new part of our lesson 292 from our chapter 63 entitled The King Cometh Part 4. And that will be held November 30th, 2019. Hope and pray you were blessed, and may you have a blessed rest of the Sabbath.